And he said, pray you therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. And so I pray God would help us to do that. If you would this morning, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. And we have a missionary coming tonight. We have missionaries at different times through the year. Sometimes they're sort of close together, and then sometimes it's a few months in between them. And when missionaries that we support try to come to be with us, I try to work out that because it's good for us to hear what God's doing with their ministry and in their life. And it's good for us to realize sometimes the hardships. We said here in America, very, very few hardships as many of them. It's good for us to recognize the need that is so very great. And so this morning, sort of a mission emphasis type message with Brother Jeff coming tonight, and he'll be bringing the message tonight. But look with me, if you would, Acts chapter number 1. And we'll begin reading there in verse 1. The former trustees, or that just means the former book, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that he was through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, the book of Acts is written. The human author of Acts, of course, is the man by the name of Luke. He has another book by his entitled his own name. And that's what he's writing about there in verse number 1. He says that former thesis, or that former book, that had been written, he told all the things about the life and the passion, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the things that happened after that. So the book of Luke has the details of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Luke is writing under the inspiration of the book, what we call the book of Acts. Now up probably in the top of your page, it probably says the Acts of the Apostles. Someone said a long time ago, and I wrote it down because I sort of agree with this, this could be called, and maybe should be called, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, or the Acts of the Church. The book of Acts is a book that gives us the actions of the Holy Spirit. It gives us the actions of that early church and the actions that they had in their early ministry. And so Luke here gives us, and he tells about the early part of the ministry of the Lord, how that he was crucified, that's his passion, he died. And then by many infallible proofs, he proved to those around that Jesus, that he was the Son of God. Those are infallible proofs and pertaining to the kingdom of God. You'll read in the New Testament, you'll read in the Gospels, that many times the apostles would ask the Lord about the kingdom. They just had a hard time understanding some things about the kingdom of God. For in their Jewish mind and their Jewish writings, in the Old Testament, they saw that there was coming a Messiah and that he would establish his kingdom, that he would once again establish Israel as the nation that it once was. And they were always asking the Lord, is this going to happen? And even here, as Luke gives us some of the details, And it says here they came together there in verse number 6 and asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You have died. You were buried. Now you're resurrected. We see the proofs of that. Are we going to go into the kingdom of God? And they had a very difficult time seeing in the Scripture and in their mind this period of time that we're living in today that we call the church age. I try to refrain from calling this the age of grace because I believe every age has been the age of grace. I believe every period of time has been laced with the grace of God from even the beginning of time there with Adam and Eve. But this is the church age. It's not an age that God's dealing primarily with Israel, but He's dealing with the Gentile world, and He's establishing and He's founding and building His church and building people to come together to be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of things in those statements that we could get into that we'd probably, some of us would disagree with, and a lot of misunderstanding about some of those things, and so that's not what our message is this morning, but He does tell us here, the Lord said it's not for you to know those things. He said it's not for you to have that understanding. And He told them, He said, John truly baptized you with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. There's a day coming very soon to these disciples that are talking to the Lord that Jesus tells them they're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or baptized with. The Scripture says here that John, he uses the illustration of John the Baptist. He baptized with water. That could also be said he baptized in water. It's with water, in water, because they went down into the water together. They come up out. And we believe that baptism is by total immersion that pictures the burial of a person that has died. And in the spiritual side, we are baptized in the name of the Lord. And we are raised again in His likeness of resurrection. And we go forth to live and serve Him. And so the Lord told them, and I've given you those illustrations. And even verse number 5 is a very controversial verse with a lot of people. But it just simply talks about this water baptism that John administered is a type, is a picture of what's going to happen. And you read in Acts chapter 2, called the day of Pentecost. He says, "Not in a few days hence, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost." We hear today a lot about Holy Spirit baptism. And terminology is wrong even in that statement, because the Holy Spirit baptism happened on the day of Pentecost, I believe, on the assembled people that came together, and He immersed them in the Holy Ghost. He gave them power to go into all the world, preach the gospel. And again, that's a controversial subject with a lot of people. But in my thinking, in my study, I believe it's just an incident that happened one time on the day of Pentecost that the Lord immersed those disciples and He put that church in the Holy Ghost of God, gave them power to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so we find here that Jesus gives them now in verse number 8, He gives them some last words to this group of people. He talks about His power, or God's power. In verse number 7, He said, "It's not for you to know these times nor seasons which the Father hath put in His own power," or in His own authority. Now He comes in the next verse, and He says, "But you don't have the power to know the things that are going to happen, and it's not for you to know the kingdom of God at this time, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you." And here we find the reference to the day of Pentecost and the coming together and giving the power to go and to preach the gospel. And you'll find every time in the New Testament talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is always for a specific purpose and to edify and to magnify the Word of God and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here in verse number 8 we have this last message that the Lord gives to the church while His feet are planted upon this earth. He said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Those are the last words of the Lord while He was here upon this earth, and it was unto His disciples. It was unto His, what we call His church. And He had told them to set aside for a little while. There's a day coming. He said, just a few days hence. He says, as John baptized with water and in water, I'm going to baptize in the Holy Spirit this group of people, that they have power to go and to preach the gospel unto the different nations in the world in which we live. So this last thing that Jesus spake to them before He was taken up was to impress upon their hearts the importance of being a witness. To impress upon that group of people, those disciples, that had come together and they had followed the Lord and they had gone and done the many things with the Lord. And now He impresses upon them, there's one last task that you're beginning, and that task is not going to be over until the Lord comes again. And that last task that we have as a church that He gave to us on the last words of His time here was that we were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You'll find the passage, or you'll find the resurrection story in all four of the Gospels. You'll find that right after the resurrection, Jesus gives the Great Commission. And you find it in Matthew, you'll find it in Mark, you'll find it in Luke, you'll find it in John, and now we find it in the book of Acts. Five times the Lord gives us the instructions that we're to go into the world and to preach this message that is left to us, and that message is the message of salvation. I'm glad this morning that we see the flags hanging around our building and we have the missionaries coming at different times that we have from time to time. And they tell us what's going on in their country. They tell us what's going on where God's called them. They're living in a different culture. They're eating different food. They have different languages. They have so many things that are different to them. But there's one thing they have in common with us, and they preach the gospel that people might be saved. I know I got a letter from the missionary that has just gone over to Ukraine, and he said one of his children was having trouble with the texture of the food. Well, I might have trouble with that also. I might have trouble with the taste of the food. It's totally different. And he said, we got one child that's just having a real difficult time with that. And that's an important issue because he's got to raise his children on that field where God's called him. And he's got to try to make sure all these things work together because God has given him a personal commitment and God's given him a personal command to go to that part of the world and to preach the gospel to those people. And so we find here these words that Jesus gave to His church are words that are still echoing in our ears. We think about them. We read about them from time to time. We preach messages on that because I believe the most important work of the New Testament church is to send the gospel around the world. And without that, we have really no reason for existence if we do not try to tell people here at home and around the world that Jesus is the Savior. And so I want us to notice here what's involved in this going. What's involved in telling. What's involved in this last message that Jesus gave to His disciples. I believe maybe the first thing that we look at might really be the hardest. And He tells them there in verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." It invokes this idea of waiting. There is a time period, or there's a time frame here, that the disciples, we read as we read through these earlier verses, that the Lord says there's a time when it's going to take place. There's going to be an endowment of power. But you're to wait here into Jerusalem until that takes place. And so there's a waiting period for these disciples. They knew the task. They knew the job that was before them. For they had heard the Lord say this time and time again. They had heard the commission that God gives us and is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 28. They knew the words of what the Lord had given to them in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and how that they are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They had heard that, and they knew what their job was, but they had to wait now, and they are meeting with their Lord, and they are still concerned, and they are still questioning about the kingdom. The Lord says, it's not time for you to know the things about the kingdom, but it is time for you to understand that you will in the future somewhere, you're going to receive the power that you can go into all the world and do that preaching. It involves that divine power. Ye shall receive power. We understand what power is. It takes power to move objects. It takes power to light the lights in this building. It takes power to move a car. It takes power to get anything accomplished. And here Jesus said, to get these things accomplished, you're going to have to receive power. I'm glad, thank God, our power doesn't come from a generator. It doesn't come from something man has made, but it's the power that comes from God through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Ye shall receive power. When that was spoken to those folks back some almost 2,000 years ago, and you know what happened? They received power. So that means you and I this morning, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the power to go and to preach the gospel to every creature. And so it involves the waiting period, a waiting time. In Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 49, the Bible says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So Jesus was talking about that power that comes from above, that power that comes from heaven, the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, the commission that is given here in verse 18 and verse 19. Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." He simply means, I have the power. Go you therefore in that power. And there's coming a day it's going to be endued and given to you. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. And you can read it in chapter number 2 of the book of Acts. And marvelous, magnificent, strange things happened that day when the Holy Spirit was there, and they were placed in that power of God. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, I'll guarantee you, strange things happen. Things that we can't imagine, things that we can't explain, things that we don't understand. When the Holy Spirit has control of the actions and has control of the affairs of man, it works according to the plan of God, and that's far outside the bounds of our mental capacity and our thoughts. And God can do marvelous, miraculous things when the Holy Spirit is given unto us. And so we find that we have that power and that we are filled with that presence of the Holy Ghost of God. Matthew 28 and verse 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." And so we find that we have the waiting for the presence and the power. The walking orders have been given, but you can't go yet. You have the commission, but you can't move yet because you've got to have the Holy Spirit. And thank God one day He came. And the Bible says it gives us a proof. And the Scripture says there in Acts chapter 1 verse 3 where we read, He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22 says, "Ye men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Here we find in the midst of the message that was preached there on the day of Pentecost, the work of the Lord and the proof of the Lord and the ministry of Jesus Christ was given and reminded unto them once again, "Ye men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God." Jesus was the Son of God, approved of God. And here's how He was approved. He was approved by the miracles and the wonders and the signs which God did by Him. And so we have a Savior. Thank God we have a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful Lord, and He has given us His power. He has given us His presence, and we have the proof of the Word of God that we can do all things through Him which strengthens us. So may God help us this morning to realize as a Baptist church that why are we? And I've had people ask, what kind of Baptist church are you? You know, it's a shame there's about 57 different varieties of Baptists, and I'd probably put a 1 in front of that and have 157. There's so many different kinds. People ask you, what kind of Baptist are you anyway? And we have to go and give all the details. But I'm not ashamed of what I am. I'm not ashamed of what I believe. I'm not ashamed of what I stand for. And I'm glad we can say that we are standing upon the principles of God's Word. We are a Baptist church with emphasizing missions around the world to preach the gospel to every creature. That's what God has commissioned us to do. And the power was given on the day of Pentecost, and it was promised here in Acts chapter 1. And Peter stands up and he preaches that great message there that day, and the fire of God fell. The presence of the Lord was there in many, many infallible proof, but they had to wait for it. I think waiting is one of the most difficult things that all of us have to accomplish. We just have to wait. What am I doing while I'm waiting? Well, sometimes we don't do much. Sometimes we don't need to do much. And sometimes we're just waiting. I know it's hard sometimes for us to wait for that tick of the clock to go by and the hour to come that we can do something that we've scheduled to do. But we have to wait for, and Jesus says here that there's a time of waiting. But when that time is past, all power is given unto you to go and to preach the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kids have a problem waiting. Adults have a problem waiting. Rebecca, yesterday, she said, I think we ought to leave. We're going on vacation this week. She said, I think we ought to leave Sunday night after church. So I think we need to wait until Monday morning. Well, I think we need to leave Sunday. I said, why? She said, I just want to go. I said, we'll go four hours and be midnight, and then we'll get a motel and we'll sleep. We can do that here a whole lot cheaper. And so we don't like to wait. We want to do. We want to go. Adults don't want to wait. We have things that we have planned, and we just don't want to wait for it. We want to get it accomplished right now. We'll get things and try to work it out right now. But Jesus told the church, and they may have been chomping at the bits to go and to tell the gospel, but He said, no, you've got to wait until I approve the time. You've got to wait until you're endued with power from on high. Now, they could have gone, but if you don't go in the power of God, you're not going to accomplish anything. As a church and as a Christian, if we don't go with the presence of the Lord and the blessings of God upon us, we're not going to accomplish anything for Him. So they had to have that wait for the power and the presence of the Lord in their life, and then they could go. And of course, the book of Acts is the story of them going. And then later on, the latter part of the book of Acts is the story of Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas, and them going and preaching the gospel and the power of the resurrected Lord. So the last words of the Lord here to the church, He said, just wait a little bit. That wasn't what maybe they wanted to hear. But He said, you just wait. Then He says, after you do this, then you can witness. Notice verse 8 once again here in chapter 1. He says, but ye shall. That means yet in the future, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then the next statement says, ye shall be witnesses. So here you wait, and now you witness. Chapter 2 and verse number 32. The Scripture says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Peter here, as he preached the message, he said, this Son of God, this Jesus of Nazareth, He's been proven of God, many infallible proofs. And he said, now, we preach Him, and he says, this God, this Jesus that God raised up, we're witnesses of these things. And you and I this morning, we are witnesses to the blessings of the Lord upon us. It involves the work of God in our life. It involves the praising of the Lord. It involves the preaching of the gospel that others might hear about the same Lord that we have. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 11, it says, there were Cretes and Arabians. We do all hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They heard them speak in their own language. And he says, we hear them speak of the wonderful works of God. That's the witness that they had. And the miracle that God did on that day of Pentecost was that those many people that were gathered together. You've got a list of them there in verse number 9, 10, and 11. And they were amazed that they all were hearing in their own language, and they were understanding what God had given them. They were understanding the message of the Lord. And we do hear them speak, they said. And we can rejoice in that, in the wonderful works of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says, praising God with having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord did the adding to the church. So it's the church that is involved. It's the church that was given power. It's the church that Jesus established. And by the way, the church was not started. And I may get controversial here. The church was not started on the day of Pentecost. It was started in the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And when He called those disciples together and He formed them into His apostles, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ began, and it worked, and it had power given to it on the day of Pentecost. Now, it goes forward, and here we find in Acts chapter 2, after Pentecost, the Lord added to the church. You can't add to something that's not there. And so the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How were they added? They were added because of the witness of that church. It was added because of the preaching of that man, Peter. It says in verse 14 of chapter 2, but Peter, the Bible says, he lifted up his voice and he took that opportunity and he preached that great message on the day of Pentecost. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the message we have. If a missionary goes to a foreign field and does anything except preach the gospel, he's not a missionary in the right sense. Now, there may be other things that goes along, but main task, main job, preach the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the main task of Grace Baptist Church. I believe that's the main task of this preacher. I believe it's the main task of every believer that we preach the gospel. That it be the message of salvation to those that will hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And if we'll preach the gospel, somebody gets saved somewhere and they'll believe and they'll receive. It involves the praising of the Lord. It involves the preaching of the Word of God. Peter lifted up his voice. Peter's that vocal apostle that Jesus had. Peter is always speaking, always talking, and now here on this day he is chosen of the Lord to preach that message. I wish we had time to read the message that Peter preached on that day of Pentecost. A great, powerful message that he gave. And because of that, the Scripture says the Lord added to the church daily. Daily. We have trouble adding weekly, monthly, yearly. But the Lord added to the church, early church, that had just heard Him say, wait for the power. The power is given now, day by day, day in, day out. The Lord is adding unto the church. Sounds like successful business to me. Sounds like following the command of the Lord sort of works. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, that we are to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. There's a song in our songbook, to the regions beyond, I must go, I must go. They must the story be told. If they're not told the story, it goes untold and they die without God and they die without hope. And the Scripture says that we preach the gospel in the regions beyond. May God help us to continue the regions beyond. The witnessing. Romans 10, 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? And that is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How shall they preach except they be sent? How are they sent? Under the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. How are they sent? Acts chapter 13, they've sent by the authority of that church to go into the world and preach the gospel. Missions is a work of the local church. And you have all kind of organizations, and I know we've got a lot of organizations that do what we supposedly think are good things, but I'll tell you what, the gospel is to be given to the world through the local church. It's to be given by the church of the living God to preach that gospel that God gave them the power to do that with. So many times the reason we have these parachurch programs is because the real church won't do what they're supposed to do. They'll not take up, and they'll not do, and they'll not give what God says. It involves not praising, not just preaching, but it involves persuading. Acts chapter 2, verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort," or persuade. I ought to tell people, I ought to give them the promise that Jesus saves. Aren't you glad this morning he saves? We live in a world that is in such turmoil, such struggle. Our country is not immune to those things. We see it coming from every corner, every direction. America has turned her back on God, and I'm not sure God has not turned his back on us. I believe some of the things we hear and some of the problems we're facing, and we haven't seen anything yet. But just the things that are before us, it could be very well the judgment of God upon a nation that has said no. May God help us. But you know, even when a nation goes in disarray, even when a government turns its back upon God, and our government has, if you don't believe that, y'all just search some things that we have done as a government in the last few years. We have turned our back upon morality. We have turned our back upon righteousness. We've turned our back upon right things. And when a nation does that, the Bible says the only thing left for a nation that forgets God is hell. Preacher, you're saying we're all going to hell? No. I'm saying our nation is under the principles and under the power of the wicked one. And it doesn't matter who's in the courthouse, White House, Congress House, doesn't matter. Until we come as a nation back to God, we're going to suffer some difficult days. But that does not say that we have to, because we are His people. You see, we are a people inside of a people. We are a regenerated group of folks. We are people that are saved by the grace of God, that has the promise of God that He will help us, He will provide, and He will protect. So what are we to do? We continue to witness. I read this morning some college, I forget now where it was, Maine or somewhere out in the Northeast, they have done away with all the Bible clubs, Bible societies, unless they agree to let the homosexual crowd come in and run for office, and if they win, they take over. I'd shut her down first. May God help us. We're facing some dark days. We're facing some issues that I didn't think I'd ever have to face. I'm facing questions from folks that sometimes I don't have the answer, because I didn't think I'd ever be asked that particular question. But my friend, we are in a world of turmoil and struggle and troubles. And I'm glad God's still on the throne. And the Sodomite crowd may think they're having their heyday, but it'll be over one day. The drunkard may think he's having his good time, but it'll be over one day. The world may think they're running on extra energy, but that energy will run out one day. And I know who's going to be in the last hurrah. And one day Jesus is coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He'll put down all unrighteousness. So they better enjoy what they have right now, because it's just a limited time. You and I, we can endure what we have for just a little while, because it's limited also. Their day is just about over. Our day is just about to begin. When we get to be with the Lord, thank God, what a day that will be. And then he tells, lastly, the world that they are to go to. They're going to Jerusalem. That's an unreceptive place. They've had the ministry of Jesus Christ all those years, and they didn't want him, but they were to go anyway. They were to go to Judea. That was a barren place, unworthy. They were to go to Samaria. Why would a Jew ever go to Samaria? That's that group of people that have mixed, and they're not like us. And Jesus said, go to Samaria. And Jesus said in John chapter 4, I must needs go through Samaria. There's a woman at the well there that needed the Word of God. must go to the unwanted. And then he says, go to the uttermost part of the earth. And that's the unreached. There's still people that have never heard. There's many, many folks that have never heard the name Jesus Christ. And they're out there. Go you therefore, preach the gospel. We'll have a missionary tonight that's doing that. We have missionaries in these countries that's doing that. And they're doing it in the power of the message of the gospel of God. Ye shall receive power. Thank God the power came. Now we have it. Now we can use it. Let's stand together this morning.